You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Finally, we all know one of the biggest places we come in contact with algorithms is on the internet. In the United States, the internet is an essential part of our daily lives. But in Cuba, internet access is heavily restricted to mostly a small national network on the island. That may soon change now that President Obama and Cuba are on the path to normalizing relations. Nancy Scola, a reporter covering tech policy for The Washington Post, joins us to talk about Cuba's connectivity.
One of the things that was most striking about this was that at the same time that President Obama was speaking and talking about lowering these barriers to entry for U.S. telecommunications companies, President Castro was also speaking and saying that he was opening up the country on the telecommunications front. He didn't specify whether that means just, you know, letting more computers and letting more wireless routers flow into the country, or if that actually means lowering the restrictions that they have in place that limits what Cubans can look at the internet. So some of those details are going to be shaking out, hopefully over the next few weeks and months.
You know, I think about big U.S. internet and broadband companies. What's in this for them, do you think? We're not talking about a massive financial market.
Cuba is the population of Ohio, which is not an extraordinarily big market opportunity for your big American telecom companies. I think there's some aspect to this where it's a fulfillment of what they think is their mission of bringing people online. We've seen in the last several years companies like Google, companies like Facebook, taking the millions and billions that they make and trying to open up the internet to the sort of greater part of the world. We've seen Facebook launch balloons over Africa to try to bring internet access there. So I think in some ways it's just sort of a symbolic, you know, they like the internet, they want to bring people online.
What about cost? After all, you know, the average Cuban does not make a lot of money, and what, 80% of the population works for the state?
Yeah, and I think the average per capita income in Cuba is about $5,500 U.S. dollars. So there is a limitation there on what people are going to be able to afford. One of the questions that's raised about this is, okay, Cuba opens up the country to more internet access. So companies can now come in, build out the internet, and bring people online. There's a way in which that happens, and it's just, you know, AT&T or Telefonica comes in and builds out the internet and charges people. And that could be very expensive for the average Cuban. One of the things that people are talking about in sort of telecom policy circles is, could you see the Cuban government build out the internet themselves, build out a backbone that then maybe other companies can come in and sell access? But it's, you know, in sort of a Cuban-inspired model, maybe a little more socialist model, it's much less expensive than it is in the United States, where we think of it just as sort of a consumer product. And we've seen a little bit of that happen in the United States. You see Google Fiber has come into a number of cities, Austin, yep, Kansas City, where they offer internet access for an installation fee. But after that, you get very high-speed internet for free for 10 years. So there's a possibility that, you know, as Cuba builds out its internet access, it's sort of distinctly Cuban style of internet access.
I think about the role that things like Twitter and Facebook have played in places like Iran. I wonder what we're going to see in Cuba. Will the internet be a place to foment dissent, to communicate, you know, away from the government? And how's the government going to view that?
I think there's a fair bet we'll see a restriction on services like Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. That's happened in China. That's happened in a number of countries. In China, they crack down on services like Twitter and instead prefer something called Weibo or Sina Weibo, which is a sort of more regulated, more strictly monitored sort of microblogging service. I think there's a good possibility that something like that happens in Cuba.
Nancy Scola covers tech policy for The Washington Post. Thank you so much.
Thank you.